Bye. Any NSYNC fans out there? Okay, I see you 90s kids out there. I see you. Come on, turn them, say, bye, bye, bye. Come on now. Hey, we are concluding this 90s series. This has been a fun series. We've been looking at classic 90s pop culture and really tying it in with a lead in to some very solid classic stories of the Bible. The first service, we talked about the Fresh Prince, not the Fresh Prince of Bel Air, but the Fresh Prince of Egypt. Yeah, Moses' life. Second week, we talked about You Can't Touch This, Samson and Delilah. Last week, we talked about The Race to Be First, Mario Kart, and looked at a very important story. If you missed last week, I highly encourage you. I had a lot of people respond. That really struck a nerve with a lot of people. The Race to Be Great, and looking how God's perspective is turned upside down. He had two of his disciples, their mama came to him. Jesus, make my sons great, and remember them. And he really had a lot to teach about that, really flipped this whole greatness thing upside down. You need to catch that sermon if you missed it. Go on our website and pick up any of those sermons you missed over the last few weeks. Today we're going to conclude this sermon, and I'm going to do my last one of the 90s. NSYNC, how many remember the boy bands of the 90s? Come on now. There was a lot of boy bands, but two that really was the battle of the 90s, right? Who were they? NSYNC and Backstreet Boys. How many of you had posters of these guys hanging up on your walls in the 90s? Anybody? All right. How many girls? Come on, be honest. Say, yeah, I had these posters in my locker or hanging up on my wall. How many guys? Well, don't raise your hand, please, if you don't. I don't want to know. But we basically came down to a battle, usually they were NSYNC or Backstreet Boys when it came to these boy bands. I actually seen the other day where I read that they are doing a reunion tour. The two of them are going to tour together coming up sometime soon, supposedly. You know, and I was thinking, who's going to sponsor that? You know, sponsored by, you know, by Advil and the Pens. Who's going to sponsor this now? These old guys. I mean, look at this before and after. This is Joey Fatone in the 90s, and this is Santa Claus today. I think he hasn't changed much, was it? They're going to come out there. They can't dance, but they sure have their walkers out there doing this. Bye bye. Okay, bye bye. They only do two byes now. They can't get all three in. But it's going to be a reunion tour. You know, it's kind of fun to think about reflecting back in the 90s and some of the fun things. And one of their greatest hits NSYNC had was Bye, Bye, Bye. And we just heard the intro to that. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Bye, Bye, Bye. We're talking about letting go of our past. Letting go of our past. Isn't that amazing that all of us have a past, right? Some of it good, some of it not so good, some of it great. But either way, our past can be the greatest hindrance to our future. If we don't let go of the past success, past hurt, past bitterness, past things that have happened in our life, it will hold us back for the next season that God's wanting us to walk into. We want to live there. We got to get out of this past. We must step out of our past and into the promises of God. If you want to step into the new season, the new promises God's got for you, you got to see yourself. God, I'm stepping out of this place. It's a place where I've been stuck for a while. And I'm putting my head up and I'm looking and saying, God, I'm anticipating the next season. God, I'm anticipating getting out of this rut. God, I'm anticipating getting out of this valley of mourning. God, I'm anticipating that, God, you got a new season for my life. God, you got something better waiting for me, and you got to see it. You gotta pursue it. You gotta get out of your past, let that thing go, and say, I'm ready to get there. So today we're gonna look at a classic story in the Bible. It's one that's not talked about a lot, but I believe it has a lot of meaning for us today. We're gonna get some great insight today on how to live our life. Let's look at the story of Ruth in the Bible. Ruth was a strong woman of God, and we see some pretty cool stories about her here. Ruth was a daughter-in-law of Naomi. Now, Naomi, we see in the Bible where Naomi and her husband were living in Jerusalem. There was a famine in the land. Now, remember when I tell you this, that with Moses' life, with Samson's life, I told you how that Jerusalem, they would get success, and then they would start turning their eyes and saying, look what we've accomplished. And then God would have to cause a famine to come. He'd cause enemies to take over. And then he'd raise up a judge and a deliverer to come back and set them free. But it went through this whole cycle thing going on for years and years. They would have to be living in bondage, and then he'd raise up Moses and bring him out, and then they would be living in, they would have a success, look what we did, and God would bring them back down and allow the Philistines to come in and take away from them. Then he'd raise up Samson. I mean, he was always raising up judges to bring them freedom, but he was allowing them to go through these seasons, hard seasons, to get their attention. And this is kind of what's happening here. They were going through a season of famine. It was affecting the economy. It was really bad. So they decided they're going to move east. So we see where Naomi and her husband decide, we're going to take our two boys. We're going to go east about 100 miles to Moab. And when they go to Moab, instead of things getting better, they got worse. It's a pretty tragic story. We see where they think things are going to get better. They move there to Moab. Her husband dies. Her two boys end up marrying two Moab women, and the two boys actually died as well. Say, Naomi finds herself a widow and has just lost her only two sons, and it's just her and her two daughter-in-laws now. And so Naomi's trying to help take care of her daughter-in-laws, but she doesn't have anything. When her sons died, she loses the right to the property. She has no male covering. It's a big mess. And so she decides, I'm going to go back to Jerusalem. I'm going to go back to Bethlehem. We're going to return back there and see what I can, if I can at least survive. And on her way back, it says she stopped and she told Ruth and she told Oprah, that was the name of her daughter-in-law, listen, you need to go back to Moab. Listen, just go back to Moab. You guys are young. You can remarry and you have your people there, your family's there and all this stuff. And she's telling them to go back. And so this whole thing begins to take place. They have no male covering. She goes, at least there you can find someone to help cover you. And to make things worse, all of her land has now been stripped from her because of her sons dying. There's no male authority there. And so by legalities, she lost the rights to the land that she would have had back in Jerusalem. There's no land back in Moab. I mean, she's desolate. She has no land, no home, no way of providing for herself. And so she's like, listen, you guys go back. Look what happens here in 120. We see this bitterness sitting in Naomi's life. And Naomi said, hey, don't call me Naomi anymore. Instead, call me Mara, which means the Almighty has made my life very bitter. And so Naomi meant pleasant, the pleasant one. And she goes, my life is not pleasant anymore. I'm bitter. Just start calling me bitter lady. You know, have you ever met those people before? If you're not careful, sometimes life comes along and we get bitter, we get hard, and it affects us. And, you know, it's one thing to have that happen. And we understand life can throw us curveballs and things we didn't expect. But as a Christian, we got to say, God, I don't want to become bitter. I'm feeling these bitter feelings. I'm having this bitter feeling trying to hold me back. And when you have those things, you got to realize, all right, I'm not called to stay in my bitterness, but I got to look up and get out of this place so that God can lead me to the next season of my life. So she tells her, listen, we're going back to Jerusalem, guys. Go back and serve. Go back to your hometown. Go back to Moab. And look at their response here in Ruth 1:14 through 16. And so she tells them, hey, girls, this is the end of the road. You guys go back. And they all begin to weep together. Look at, and again, they all wept together. And Oprah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. And she said, look, Naomi said to her, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You should do the same. But look at this. But Ruth replied to her, don't ask me to leave you and to turn back. See, right away we see that Ruth had a special anointing about her life. Ruth had something different about her spirit. Ruth had something different. She's like, don't even ask me to turn back. I love that about her. Right away we see something. And that should be our response to any time the enemy comes to us. It's like, listen, go back. You are better off before you were serving God. You are better off doing your life this way. You are better off with your old group of friends. You are better off with this, living this way. And our mind, we get bitter about what we're going on. We have hurts that come along, disappointments. And the enemy says, go back. And you got to be saying, don't even ask me. Don't even tempt me. Don't even say to me to go back, because I've gone too far to go back now. I've come too far to where God's taken me. And it may not be where I want to be. And it may not be a season right now of blessing. But as I look back and see, that was a place of damnation. That was a place where I was stuck. I was lost. I was unproductive. But now God has set my feet by the Redeemer, and I'm going forward. Even though this might be a season of bitterness trying to set in, it might be a season where I don't know what's going to happen next, my eyes stay forward. I'm pressing on to the things of God. I refuse to go back. You see, that's what Satan was trying to do to the children of Israel all along. Go back, be a slave. Don't go forward to the promise. He was always tempting them to go back, go back. And Ruth said, don't even ask me to turn back. I love that about her. She goes, wherever, Naomi, you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. That's the way I feel about you today. Come on now. We're doing life together. Wherever you go, I want to go. Whatever you do, let's do it together. Come on. We're going forward. We're not going back. I love the tenacity about her spirit. Something about that inspires me. She could have went back to the familiar. She could have went back to her comfort zone. But she decided, you know what? I'm going to do the right thing. Naomi has nobody. My family's all got themselves. But God, you're calling me to go forward. God, you're calling me to support Naomi. God, you're calling me to go forward. We don't know what happened to Oprah. I guess she wouldn't have started her own talk show or something. But anyway, we never hear about Oprah again in the Bible, but we do hear that Ruth gets her own book in the Bible, okay? There was something about this woman's spirit that God said, I want to make an impact from generation to generation. I want people to see the faith of this woman. I want people to see the Spirit of God working in her, that you don't turn back, you go forward, even in the difficult season. She said, don't ask me to turn back. So if you want to experience and step into the promises of God going forward, number one, leave the past in the past. Leave the past in the past. We all love to live in the past, right? We all can have that Uncle Rico spirit, right? You know, in high school, I was the man. In college, I was the man. And all of our, if we're not careful, all of our great memories and life highs are surrounded by some events that happened in high school or college. And we live the rest of our life thinking, oh, if I could just do that again. If I could just be single again. If I could just play ball again. If I could just, you know, all these different things. And that's the enemy trying to get us to live in the past. Listen, God's got more for it. It's a sad place to be. You know, as a Cowboys fan, the 90s was a great decade. Any Cowboys fans know what I'm talking about? Three Super Bowls in the 90s. But you always notice when the Cowboys fans were talking today, we don't talk about today. We talk about the 90s. Because it's been a long time since we had a winning season. We had these winning Super Bowls, right? But the 90s, man, that was our decade. That was our decade. So Cowboys fans, we're stuck in the 90s. It's all about Aikman and Irvin and Smith, all these great players of the 90s. We get stuck there. I had a cousin, man. He was a little bit older than me, and all my life, everything was about college. Everything was about all, if you get around him, it's all 90% of his stories about college. 90% of his conversations about what he did in college, what he accomplished in college, all of his friends in college, some of the fun things he did in college, and everything. He took years to get on social media. When he got on social media, every post was a picture about college, a story about college. And I was like, my God, how sad is it? This man's stuck. Listen, if you think your life is peaked in high school or college, man, what kind of life are you living? That's not the way God designed. There's nothing wrong with having fun in those times, but I'm telling you, God's got something more for your life. God's got a new high for you. God's got a new season he wants you to walk in where you can experience the blessing, and it's a different season. And God wants us to let go of our past. One of the hardest things is looking back. The temptation is always to look back. If we keep looking back, we'll never step into the season God wants us to be in. We'll miss out on what God's trying to teach us today when we're always looking back to the past. I mean, right now, some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you need to thank God. Come on now. If Facebook's done anything, it's allowed us to look back on our past and say, God, thank you I didn't marry that person. God, thank you. The person I thought I needed, that you changed my mind and you took them out of my life. I look back now and say, oh, God, thank you for helping me to prevent me from that mess. Thank me for messing that train wreck. And I look back and I see people like that, or I see friends in high school that were the most popular people, voted most likely to succeed, best looking. And look back now and they're making posts from an empty bar stool, sitting by himself and talking on a Tuesday night. I had nothing to go home to. I guess I'll stay here and drink. Anybody want to join me? I'll be here from 6 to 9 tonight. I'm thinking, what a way to live your life. What a tragedy. Any old friends from high school want to join me? We can talk about the good old days. I mean, they had a big reunion a couple weeks ago. Some friends, they went back to our junior high before they tear it down, and they wanted to tour it. They're all giving stories. And it's like, and then afterwards, 2 days later, same person sitting on a bar stool by himself. I thought, God, what? Poor guy. There's nothing else to live his life for. See, without Jesus, our life is void. Without Jesus, our life has no purpose. But if you know Jesus, your past becomes your past. And God's got even a greater destiny for your future. You just got to see it, and you got to believe it, and know that, God, you've got a new season. And even though I'm going through a hard season right now, the Bible is very clear that through our mourning, through our tears, that God would return joy back in the morning hour, and he'll allow us to smile again. He'll allow us to have joy again. He'll allow us to laugh again. He'll give us a new purpose. He'll allow us to see great things, and we can have another season of greatness in our life. It's just leaving my past behind, refusing to stay there. I got to leave the past in the past. Don't look back. It didn't work out for people in the Bible who look back. Go back and study people who look back in the Bible. They didn't last very long, okay? It was bad for them. Number two, write this down. You got to work while you wait. Oh, come on. Turn to your neighbor and say, work while you wait. Now tell them, say, Pastor Gene's about ready to preach. You better hang on for this one, okay? Ruth and Naomi return to Bethlehem. Everything has changed. Isn't that crazy how that happens? You go back home and, man, your hometown changes. You'll be gone not that long. You go back after 5 or 6 years, 10 years. You're like, man, everything's changing. Stores are changing. Friends are changing. Streets are changing. Things change. It's kind of the same thing. They go back. Everything's changed. Ruth begins to look, and she's like, all right, me and Naomi, we're back here. We have no male covering in our life. We don't have a way of working. So she said, all right, I'm allowed to go out according to the law. I'm allowed to go out, and when the harvesters go through the fields, by law, I'm allowed to follow them, and anything they drop, anything they leave, and they were instructed by law not to take every single thing. They were instructed by the law to leave a few scraps and leftovers, for the poor and desolate could come behind them and pick it up. And so if they dropped something, they were not allowed to pick it up. They were supposed to keep going forward and leave that behind for somebody who needed it. So Ruth's like, you know what, Naomi? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but today I can get out of here and I can work. Today I can get out of here and I can work these fields and I can get enough food for us to eat. And the Bible says she went out and she began to pick up things and began to work right there. See, oftentimes the miracle is what God does in us, not to us. Let me say this to you. Oftentimes the miracle we're looking for is not what God's going to do to us. It's what happens on the inside of us. The miracle sometimes that you didn't give up when things got hard. The miracle sometimes is when things looked like you couldn't make it through, that you kept your eyes focused and said, God, I'm not giving up. God, I'm keeping my faith. God, through my tears, I'm going to keep pressing on. God, when I don't see what the answer is next week, I'm staying focused today. Sometimes that's even a bigger miracle, because it means you operated by faith. It means you believe God even when he said, not now. You believe God when he didn't answer the prayer you thought he should answer. You believe God. That miracle has happening on the inside of you. Just not a miracle happening to you, but God is doing something in you. When you decide to work, something happens. Look at this. Now, Ruth 2:2-3. One day, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go out into the harvest fields, pick up the stalks of grain left behind by anyone who was kind enough to let me do it." Naomi replied, "All right, my daughter, go ahead." So Ruth went out to gather the grain behind the harvest. Look at this. And as it happened, come on, say this with me. As it happened, one more time. As it happened. Oh, there's something about that phrase. As it happened. There's something that the Spirit's wanting to punch there, let you know. This isn't when the Word of God uses phrases like this together. It's saying something. Like in the Spirit, something began to break. As they were singing, as they were worshiping, as they were tearing, as they were looking to heaven, as they were anticipating. The Bible uses words like that, and it's using the same kind of phrase right here. As it happened, she found herself working in a field that belonged to Boaz, the relative of her father-in-law. So there was something, I believe, that when she got out and began to work the field, instead of worrying about what was going to happen next, she said, "I'm just going to take care of what can happen today. I'm going to get out and work what I can do today, and let God take care of the rest." As she stepped out and did that by faith, something began to happen in the spirit realm. God began to move the heart of Boaz. God began to move the heart of Boaz, saying, "Look at this woman right here. Look at the faithfulness of this woman right here." It has a spiritual punch to it. See, the law was this, that the poor could follow up, give what they need. And he had heard, who is that woman? It's, oh, that's Ruth. That's Naomi's daughter-in-law. Her husband died. And her, Ruth's husband died. And Naomi's other son, he died. And she could have went back to Moab. But she came all the way from Moab with Naomi to help take care of her mother-in-law, because she knew her mother-in-law had nobody. And so she left her family behind to take care of her mother-in-law. How many think that's a miracle in itself right there? That a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law would take care of each other, right? She'd had the opportunity to leave, but she said, "I'm going to do it." And it moved the heart of Boaz. He realized the kind of spirit this woman had. And not only was she willing to travel back and support, but she was willing to get out and work. She didn't come and say, "Boaz, give me your leftovers. Boaz, give me this. I can't afford it. Boaz," she didn't write a sign up and stand around on the corner. She said, "Come on, I'm going to get out here. I'm going to work. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to get out here. I'm going to work. I'm going to do something." And she got out there. She began to work. And it caught the attention of Boaz. He saw her working and he heard her story. And it moved something that began to move in his heart. It just didn't happen that Boaz's heart was moved. It didn't just happen. His heart was moved when he saw her compassion, when he saw that she wouldn't turn back, and he saw her willingness to get out and work, just do what she could do. That began to capture Boaz's heart. So he found out all about this. So Boaz orders his workers, "Listen, tomorrow when you go out, whoever she is following, you guys spill a little bit extra. You guys leave a little bit extra." And so he already begins to make provision to provide for her and Naomi. Not just for that day, but he's saying, "I want to make sure she's taken care of. I want to make sure." So they start leaving more behind. And she begins to catch the eye of Boaz. I saw this the other day and I thought it was kind of funny. It kind of fits today's message. And hopefully I think you'll find it funny too. I saw a statement that said, "When Ruth met Boaz, she was working, not twerking." Okay, all right. There you go, ladies. There's some wisdom right there. God, when are you going to send me my man? God, when are you going to open my favor? Listen, get to work. Get to work. You do things for the kingdom of God. You begin to serve. You begin to work. You begin to do what you can. And God will make men attracted to you. God will open up favor to your life. God will do something when you begin to do all you can do. Let God do the rest. Just saying. She would have never caught Boaz's eye just walking around. It was when she began to work that he noticed her. He saw something different about her spirit. That didn't cost you anything today. That was free. That was a bonus. Some of you now are already typing that up right now. I can see it right now. Okay. Don't stay stuck in your bitterness. Don't stay stuck there. Don't stay there. You gotta walk toward forgiveness. Walk toward the place God has for you. Don't just sit there. I'm bitter, I'm staying here. I'm hurt, I'm staying here. I'm down and out, I'm just sitting here. Sometimes all you can do is just get up and do what I can do today. Sometimes it takes all the energy you have. God, I don't know, but I'm going to get up. I'm going to take some steps forward today. And they may seem small and insignificant to you. But something about saying in the spirit, I'm not staying in this place. I'm not going to sit here and just soak and become bitter and angry, but I'm going to get up and just do one little step today. I'm just going to do something and let that start a chain reaction in my life where I'll open the door for God to see my faith. God, I'm not sitting here in my bitterness. God, I want to move forward to a place of healing. I want to move forward to a place of redemption. I want to move forward to a place where you can provide. And number three, let God restore. Let God restore. Let God restore. Naomi recognizes Boaz is watching Ruth. I mean, she's like, oh, but I ain't that old. She goes, I understand how this works. And the mother-in-law was wise. And she was like, Ruth, do you realize that Boaz keeps coming out here watching? She goes, that's not typical. He's got more fields than just this field. He's got more things to run than just this place. And yet every day he just seems to find himself out here about the same time you're working. She's like, this is not an accident. She goes, this is what I want you to do. She goes, he's known to take a nap during a certain time. And I want you to go up. When he's taking a nap, I want you to lay down at the feet. And when he wakes up, I want you to ask him, would you please cover me with your cloak? Now, some of you may be thinking, a seduction way. This is not the way it was mentioned, okay? You're reading this translation wrong. She wasn't telling her to go seduce him, because when a person covered a person with a cloak, it was symbolic that they would cover them with their authority. And she was saying to them, go back and tell them who your father-in-law is. And see, because what you don't realize is this, according to the law of this time, there was a next of kin law, the kinsman redeemer law. It's called the kinsman redeemer law. That when a person became a widow, that the next of kin would have a right to bring that person in. They could marry them, bring them into their family as well, and cover them with their authority so that person would not be left out there by themselves. And so she said, I want you to go and ask him if he would consider. She goes, I know he's been watching you. See if he would consider bringing us under his authority. She asked him, and he said, you know what? I've been watching you. And you've been working hard. I've seen something about you. He goes, I've got to hold to the law. I've got to ask the next of kin first. There's one other person ahead of me. And if he declines, I will step up and I will cover you. And of course, he asked and that person declined. And so he stepped up and said, yes, let it be known. He called the city to the court in front of everybody. Said, listen, I'm going to bring her under this kinsman redemption law. And I'm going to redeem her to me. I'm going to cover her. From now on, she is covered under my covering. And because he did that, the land of Naomi was restored once again because the male began to cover her, releasing the law of her land being taken away. And now her land was redeemed back to her. And she now had a place of redemption. She had a place to live. And Naomi and Ruth had a covering now. And of course, Ruth now is married to Boaz. They have children, and the children receive the heritage from the father, and the grandmother's living with the grandchildren, loving this heritage. She's getting in on the sweet deal, all because Ruth had a different spirit about her. Because Ruth refused to go back and said, I'm going to go forward trusting the Lord. I'm going to look up trusting God. Listen, you got to let God restore. God wants to restore to you and I. God wants to do something. God wants to do something. Look at this. Now, you got to realize that Boaz and Ruth married. And look at their lineage now. Look what happens in Ruth 4, 16 and 17. Naomi took the baby, and she cuddled him to her breast. This is talking about her grandbaby now. And she cared for him as if he were her own. And remember, her son's dead, but she's living with Naomi's covering, with Boaz's covering. They have a son. And she's now taking care of this grandson. And he became the father of Jesse and the grandfather of who? David. We're talking about King David.
Because Ruth decided to press and go forward. Out of her lineage, King David was produced. And oh, by the way, out of King David's lineage comes the one we know as Jesus Christ. Amen. What an awesome story of redemption. Because I want you to get this in your heart, that God is painting a story here, not just one of letting go of your past, but what you got to see. Remember what I taught you all through the Old Testament, these stories continue to remind us of how God treats you and I. That when we were desolate and we had lost our spiritual authority because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden, we were banned. We were kicked out of our land. No longer to live in the place that God dwelled. But the Father sent His Son that you and I could be married to Him. And He would stretch out for those who didn't deserve it, to those who didn't even earn it, but received it by grace. We receive His grace. We receive His cloak of covering our life. We now walk under His authority, and we are now redeemed by what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And you and I now live redeemed, giving back our heritage, giving back our rightful place with the Father, giving back our promised land that God has wanted to give to you and I. This story happens as a reflection to show us what God did for us. Come on, give God a hand clap. Isn't it amazing? Amazing story. As our musicians are coming this morning, I want you to be motivated today and say, Pastor, I don't want to go back. I don't want to stay stuck. I got to begin to work today. I got to do what I can do today, keep my eyes going forward and believe that God, you've got a different way. God, you're going to make a way. God, you got a different season. Look at this last statement I made. See, oftentimes we sit around and we're waiting for God to move. Well, God, when are you going to move? No, see, it's just the opposite. God's waiting for us to move. God's waiting for us to move. We're not waiting on God to move. God's waiting on us. What are you doing today? What are you doing to say, God, I'm trusting you. God, I'm done all I can do. I've moved and everything I can do. I've done everything I can do. Now I've done it. And as I do that, that activates the faith and allows God to do what needs to be done in our life. I want you to bow your heads. Let you bow your heads. I want to make sure I ask this question. It's the most important question you've ever been asked. It's a question today. Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? The Bible says that without it, we'll never call heaven our home. We've all been damned by our sins, the sins of the world. We've all come short of God's glory. We've all had sin. Whether you got one sin or a million sins, the Bible says we're all guilty. And the only way for us to redeem, to be made clean, is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that you got to believe it with your heart that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that He rose again from the grave and He came to redeem mankind. You got to believe that with your heart, but it's just not enough. The Bible says that you got to confess it with your mouth. And today, if you're here and you've never made a decision to follow after Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, with your heads bowed and nobody looking but me, I want to ask you a question and give you a chance just to respond. We won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you. But if you're here today, say, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. Can you just raise your hand where I can see it? Let me see you today. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else want to join them? Thank you. Yeah, I see those hands. One more time. If you haven't raised it right now. Let me see. I want to make sure I didn't miss you. Okay, let's do this. Those of you who raised your hands, I want you to say this prayer after me. And as Christians sitting around you, we'll help you along too, saying it out loud. Say, Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will live for you. I will follow after you. I confess you as Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, put your hands together and welcome. Man, this is why we're here today. This gets us excited that you made that decision. If you made the decision today, before you leave, we'll have our garage door opened up back here with the hub opened up, and we'll have a free Bible. We'd love to put that in your hands with some other information as our gift to you today. So glad you made that decision. Let's stand across the room today as we get ready to close. How many say, Pastor, I'm not giving up. Come on, raise your hand. That's me. I'm not giving up. Come on now. Don't give up. Do what you can do now. Don't sit around. Just wait. Do what you can do now for the Lord. Work for the Lord now. I know too many people. God, I'm waiting on you. God, no, get up. Do something. Serve. Work for the kingdom. Go advance the kingdom. And let God take your faith and move you forward in Jesus' name. Come on now. If you believe that, raise your hands. I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that God, you are the God of who redeems us. You're the God who redeems our past. And I pray right now for every person stuck in their past. I pray that, Father, this season will be a season of moving forward. In the name of Jesus. God, hurts, Lord, they can move past that. Bitter spirits, they can move past that. Those who are just stuck, Lord, I pray they can move out of that season. Father, in the name of Jesus. And I pray right now, God, there's a new desire to work for you. There's a new desire, God, to move forward. In the name of Jesus, we say amen, amen. Come on, let's sing this song together. Amen. Come on, put your hands together if you received that word today. We love you. Thank you so much. I'm praying God's best for you this week. Come on, walk out of here with your head held high. Say, I'm not going back. I'm going forward in Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. Can't wait to see you next week. God bless you.